الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in our previous class we had begun discussing the issue of الأصناف الثمانية الذين يستحقون الزكاة، the eight categories of people that are deserving to receive the zakat, meaning that if a person, he has the obligation of a zakat on his wealth, if he were to give it to one of these eight categories of people, then it will be accepted from him. Then it will be accepted from him. And if he were to give it to someone other than these people who do not meet these descriptions, then it will not be accepted from him. And we have begun discussing the first two categories, and that is al-fuqara wal-masakin. Al-fuqara wal-masakin. And we have seen that there is a general characteristic that gathers both of them, and that is that they do not have enough to suffice them and those who are under their care for 1 year, for one entire year. So therefore, this is their quality and trait. But one of them is more severe than the other. Although both of them do not have their needs met for the entire year, one of them is more severe. And the people of Nar, as they mentioned, that is the faqir. He is the one who does not have anything in the first place, and he is destitute. Or the one who has some of his needs met, but not enough for half of the year. So he has less than half of his needs met, yani for the entire year, or nothing whatsoever, or in between this area here, he's called faqir, and he's more needy and in more poverty, yani, and more destitute than the miskin. As for the miskin, then he has half of what he needs or more for the year, but not all of that. But not all of that. So this is the case here, and we have been discussing some of the issues with regards to this subject here, the fuqara and the masakin, al-fuqara and the masakin. And we have seen that what is considered, what they need, and meaning whenever we say that they are those people who do not have al-kifaya li sanatihim, they do not have what they need for their year, meaning what they need for themselves and those under their care. But what is considered by what they need, meaning their clothing and their food and their drink, and likewise their housing. And also included in that as well is al-i'faf bin nikah, yani that they will be able to remain chaste by way of marriage. So all of these here, these issues here, are considered from those needs, that if a person, he did not have that entirely, then he will be able to receive zakat. So no doubt, if he didn't have his needs met, yani from his food and his drink, and from his rent and his bills and the likes like this, and for him and his family, then he's considered faqir. And many times this is what is in our minds, or miskin, according to the severity of that. But likewise, the people of knowledge mention as well, along with that is somebody who also, he does not have enough to get married, and he's in need of that. And he has come to that time. He has come to that time in his life whenever he's in need of marriage, in order to stay chaste, in order to avoid sin and indecency. So likewise, a person, he could be given zakat for this reason. And we have seen that the people of Nar has mentioned, even if a person, he had his needs, and his physical needs from his housing and his food and his drink and his clothing and the likes like this, but he did not have this need here covered, the need of i'faf bin nikah, and he did not have this covered, and he's not poor from the aspect that he needs help with his rent, or he needs help with his livelihood and his food, but he's poor from the aspect, or needy from the aspect, that he does not have enough to get married. So likewise, he could be given zakat for this affair, and he'll be given enough, and to give a mahar, for example, to give the mahar, for example, or whatever he needs for these affairs. So now he would be considered from the category of al-fuqara wal-masakin. This is the point, that he will be considered from the category of al-fuqara wal-masakin. And also, we've seen in the previous class as well, the people of Nar, as mentioned, another individual, and he is somebody who has the ability to work, and he's healthy and strong, but he is going to spend all of his time dedicated to seeking knowledge and teaching. So likewise, this person here, although he's not physically poor and he has the ability to earn, he also will be considered from this aspect, and he can be given zakat from this aspect, that the people, they will give him zakat so that لِيَتَفَرَّغَ لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ وَلِلتَدْرِيسِ, and the likes like this, that he can be freed up entirely for seeking knowledge. That he can be freed up entirely for seeking knowledge. So the likes of this person as well, he will be considered yani in this category, in this circumstance. In this category and in this circumstance. But the people of knowledge, they mentioned, that's if he did not have a type of salary that sufficed him. And if he had other types of income, for example, his family had taken care of him, or he has support from one aspect or another, and that support that he has, yani the student of knowledge, that support that he has suffices him and his family, it will not be allowed for him to take the zakat, and Allah knows best. If he did not have his needs, if he did not have his needs, he had most of his needs, or the majority of his needs, or some of his needs, and then other aspects he was struggling in, then he could still take the zakat to cover that, and Allah knows best. So here we continue now from where we have left off, and we have another issue, and that is a woman, for example, a woman who is married, and she doesn't have the nisab, she doesn't have the kifaya, and she's considered poor. She doesn't have any wealth to herself, but her husband has wealth, and he spends on her property. But her husband has wealth and spends on her properly, then she will not be allowed to be given zakat. This woman here, she's under the care of a man who takes care of her and spends on her according to her needs and according to her financial status and rank in society and the likes like this. The likes of this woman, he takes care of her in that manner. She would not be allowed to be given zakat. She couldn't say, "Oh, I don't have nisab, or I don't have everything I need, or I don't like this," and to be considered from the people of zakat whenever she has someone taking care of her, whenever she has someone taking care of her. So this also is another important point that people of knowledge, they mention. Now we discuss a new issue, and that is حد الغنى المانع من الزكاة. حد الغنى المانع من الزكاة. The point or the limit that is considered wealthy. When one is considered wealthy to the extent that he will not be able to receive zakat. يعني ما هو الحد الفاصل بين الغني والفقير. What any in the bab of zakat? What is the determining factor and the limit that separates between the one who is wealthy and the one who is poor or needy? We understand the point. Any, there's a difference here. There's a point here. Any, there's a point. Any that a person he will reach, that he will be considered ghani. He will be considered wealthy. He will be considered from those people of wealth, and he will not be allowed to receive zakat. He will not be allowed to receive zakat. And then under that, he will be in the state of the area of the miskin or the faqir. يعني المسكنة أو الفقر. So there's a head here, and there's a limit. And the people of knowledge, they differed in this issue in a number of positions. And the most well-known of them is two. And the first one is that whoever reaches the nisab in one of these wealth, if his wealth reaches the nisab, then he's considered ghani. And he's not considered faqir or miskin. If his wealth reaches the nisab in any one of these ansiba, and any one of these nisab, he reaches the nisab of the gold and silver or of the currency, or his wealth reaches the nisab of the ghanim, for example, or of any of the aspects, so long as he reached the nisab, then now he's not considered from the people of poverty and need. So he's going to be considered from the agniya. So he will not be allowed to give zakat. This is the position of the Hanafiya. But the majority of the scholars, the Jumhur, the Malikiya, and the Shafi'iya, and also a position by one of the positions of Imam Ahmed, is that what is the determining factor is al-kifaya. The determining factor is al-kifaya. If he has what he needs. This is what will determine the one who is ghani from the one who is faqir and miskin. The one who is considered wealthy and it's not allowed for him to receive zakat, from the one who is considered poor or needy and it's allowed for him to receive this zakat. What is the dividing line or the determining factor? It is al-kifaya. Al-kifaya meaning that his needs are met. So if his needs are met and he does not have any needs and he's fulfilled all of his needs all of his housing and his food and his drink and his clothing and his bills and the likes like this, and him and his family, if that, those are met, then it's not allowed for him to receive zakat, even if he has nothing. Even if he has nothing. Even if he has nothing. For example, somebody who just gets enough to get by. So in the beginning of the month, he will have some wealth, but then by half of the month is over, it's finished. But all of his bills are paid. He has bought the groceries for the month. He's taking care of the rent. Everything is fine. The AC is on. The heater is on. All of his issues are taken care of. But if you look in his paycheck, and what's left from his paycheck is almost nothing. It's nothing or almost nothing. So this person here, he would not be able to take now. And if he's going to be from those that in the next month he's going to get another paycheck in the same manner. Another paycheck in the same manner. So here, if we look at him in a certain situation and throughout the month, maybe he will not have anything. But does he need anything? Does he need any food? Does he need any clothing? Does he need his rent? Does he need any bills taken care of? No, they're all covered. They're all covered. So although he has no wealth and nothing in his hand in this circumstance, he will still not be considered from those who are allowed to have zakat in this position. And this is the best position, and Allah knows best. On the other hand, maybe somebody, his wealth will reach the nisab in certain aspects, but he's still needy and his needs are not met. Maybe, for example, somebody who will have 40 sheep, for example, but he does not have all of his bills paid. He does not have everything he needs to take care of his rent and of his bills and of his family and the likes like this. So he has the nisab of the animals, but he doesn't have everything he needs. Or even the people of knowledge have mentioned maybe somebody even has the nisab of gold and silver. But along with that, he's still needy because of his household, or the number of family members that he's taking care of. The number of family members that he's taking care of. And although he has the nisab, and he's having it for this time in his possession, still he does not have, along with that, everything he needs. Still along with that, he doesn't have everything he needs because of how many family members he has, or because of the rise of inflation, or whatever the case may be. So the point is now that it's possible a person, he could have the nisab from some of these aspects of zakat and still be needy, and still not have everything he needs to cover himself for the month or for the year, and the likes like this. So therefore, he could still receive the zakat so long as the need is there. So long as the need is there. Maybe, for example, he had purchased some jewelry and the likes like this. He has jewelry and the value of that reaches nisab. But himself, he doesn't have his needs to pay his bills, for example. Or he has a farm and he has some crops. And his crops, they reach the nisab. But then if you look at his income and his status and rank, he's below. He's below his needs. He's still struggling along with the fact that he has these crops and the likes like this. So this is all possible. So again, the point to benefit now is to know that the determining factor between the wealthy and the poor and needy is al-kifaya. Al-kifaya al-sana. The person who has his needs. If he has his needs met, then it's not allowed for him to take zakat. If he doesn't have his needs met, it's allowed for him to take zakat. We understand this point, and in general, like this. So this is the issue. It has been collected by Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, from the hadith of Qabisa ibn al-Mukhariq al-Hilali, radiyallahu anhu, that he had taken on a debt in order to bring consultation and peace between two parties. And he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking for help, and to pay the debt. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ya Qabisa, inna al-mas'alata la tahillu illa li ahad thalatha." Ya Qabisa, inna al-mas'alata la tahillu illa li ahad thalatha. He said, "O Qabisa, to ask people for money is not allowed except for three types of individuals." And from them, he mentioned the state that he was in. And from them is the shahid, what we mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, وَرَجُلٌ أَصَابَتُ فَاقَ حَتَّى يَقُومَ ثَلَاثَةٌ مِنْ ذَوِي الْحِجَاءِ مِنْ قَوْمِهِ لَقَدْ أَصَابَتْ فُلَانٍ فَاقَ فَحَلَّتْ لَهُ الْمَسْأَلَةُ حَتَّى يُسِيبَ قِوَامًا مِنْ عَيْشِ أَوْ قَالَ السَّدَادًا مِنْ عَيْشِ. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, O Qabisa, to ask people for money is not allowed except for three types of people, or in three circumstances. And from them he mentioned, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a man who was inflicted with poverty. رَجُلٌ أَصَابَتُ فَاقَ الْفَاقَ يَعْنِي الْفَقَرِ. And he was afflicted with poverty. Something happened in his finances, and he was struck with this affair and tried with poverty until three any of the well-minded individuals from his people will testify for him, and they say that so-and-so has been afflicted with poverty. Any meaning that this is something that is true. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, and this is the shahid, فَحَلَّتْ لَهُ الْمَسْأَلَ حَتَّى يُصِيبَ قِوَامًا مِنْ عَيْشٍ أَوْ قَالَ سَدَادًا مِنْ عَيْشٍ. So now this person here who has been afflicted with poverty, suddenly in this manner, it's allowed for him to ask the people, and to beg and to ask for help, for money, until he gets his needs met. Until he gets his needs met. قِوَامًا مِنْ عَيْشٍ أَوْ سَدَادًا مِنْ عَيْشٍ, yani until he meets his livelihood. His livelihood is met, and his means of livelihood are met. So therefore the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only allowed the person here in this circumstance to continue asking the people for money until he reached his needs. Until he reached his needs. يعني قِوَامًا مِنْ عَيْشٍ أَوْ سَدَادًا مِنْ عَيْشٍ, meaning until the hajjah is gone. Until the hajj is gone, until his need is gone. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed this person to ask the people for money. Allowed this person who was afflicted by poverty to ask the people for money until his needs are met. At that time it's not allowed to ask anymore. At that time it's not allowed to ask anymore. So this is from the aspect of evidence for the Jumhur with regards to that. With regards to that. So based upon this, yani again, maybe somebody he will have in his possession the nisab of different types of wealth. But along with that, he will still be from those who are in need. This is possible. Maybe he will have the nisab. Maybe he will have the nisab of some particular type of wealth, but he will still be from those who are in need. So the fact that a person reaches the nisab, this does not necessarily take him out of poverty. Rather, sometimes maybe a person, monthly, he will reach the nisab. Maybe he gets a salary. Maybe he gets a monthly salary at the beginning of the month. He reached the nisab by a lot, if we consider it to be 400. If we consider it to be 400. Maybe his wealth any in the beginning of the month doubles or triples or goes any past the nisab. But all that wealth that he has before the end of the month is gone, below the nisab. It's below the nisab. So the fact that he had the nisab here does not stop him from receiving zakat, because he's still needy and he doesn't have what he needs entirely to suffice himself. To suffice himself. So this is some of the issues here with regards to the faqir. Now we discuss the miskin, and they're very similar as we have seen. The difference between the two is the faqir. He either is somebody who is destitute and has nothing, or he has some of his needs met, but not up to half, less than half of his needs. Less than half of his needs. If he reached half now or more before fulfilling his needs, now he's going to be considered Miskeen. So al-masakeen, this is jam'u miskeen. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned this is from al-maskana. Wal-maskanatu hiya al-dhullu wal-khudu'a. Yani al-maskana. So it's as if the poverty, the maskana, what does it mean? It means al-dhull wal-khudu'a. Yani to be humbled and humiliated. Yani to be down and out in the life like this. So it's as if the poverty has put him in this state, has humiliated him, and the life like this, in this manner like this. Or they have said it's from sakana, yani from as-sukun, or a second. Yani, and if you put it on the scale of fa'ala, you say sakana. So it's as if al-maskana sakanathu, or al-faqara sakanahu an al-haraka. Yani, so that's what sukun means. Yani, taskin an al-haraka, to stop something from moving. So it's as if the poverty has struck him to the extent that he's not able to move, yani freely as he would be able to if he had wealth. So this is from the linguistic aspect of this word miskeen, either from a sukun or from a maskana, and the meaning is similar. And the meaning is similar. But the people of knowledge, they say, هُوَ الَّذِي يَجِدُ نِصْفَ كِفَايَتِهِ وَكِفَايَةِ مَنْ يَمُونَ أَوْ أَكْثَرَ غَيْرَ أَنَّهُ لَا يَجِدُ كِفَايَةَ سَنَّتِهِ. The person, he has half of his needs met, and his family, or more than that, and of his family, and he has half of his needs met, and those who are under his care, or more than that, except he does not reach the entire year, and he's still needy. He doesn't have what he needs entirely. So he has more than half. So he's in a better situation than the faqir. He's in a better situation than the faqir, but he's still in need. He's still in need. So he has half of his needs met or more, but it's not reaching that which would suffice. It's not reaching the level of that which suffice him. So maybe, for example, he would have 2/3 of what he needs. Or he would have 3/4 of what he needs, for example. And so he's much better than the person who has less than half. Somebody has less than half of his needs met for the whole year. And another person, he has 3/4 of what he needs met, of his needs met for the whole year. The second one is in a better state, but he's still in need. He's still in need. And this is something that is important for us to realize, especially those of us in America who Allah has blessed with wealth. Because to be in this state is very difficult, it's very hard. And a person that is working and he's striving and he's doing his best, or she's doing her best likewise, and to cover their needs, and they have children under their care or family members under their care, and then whenever the month comes, every single month they're short on their rent, or they don't have enough money to pay the electricity bill, or they're short on the water bill, or they don't have enough to buy gas, or they're struggling to get food, and the likes like this. This is a feeling that whenever it occurs to a person, if anybody ever experienced it, he knows it's not a good feeling. The heart drops. Yani a man who has children, for example, a man who has a wife and children, and he's working and he's doing his best, but he's struck in this trial, and whenever the time comes to pay rent, and the first of the month, you have until the 5th, and he gets the late notice, and then he gets the late notice. He doesn't have it. He doesn't have it. This is a terrible feeling. This is a terrible feeling. You need to be in that situation. Or a person, he paid his rent, but then now the electricity came. Then now the electricity came, and it's wintertime, for example. And he don't have the money. And he has people under his care. This is a terrible feeling. This is a terrible feeling. May Allah protect us from being in poverty. But this is something, if somebody ever experienced that, they know. So to have pity and to have concern and to have care for the poor people, this is something, yani, that will raise the rank of an individual. Something that's pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. And it's something that the Salaf, they used to look for. And they wouldn't wait for the people to come say, I'm poor, I need help. No, they would go look for them. And this is also one of the definitions of the miskeen. La yasaluna nasa ilhafa. That they are in poverty. He's in poverty, but yata'affaf. He doesn't go and belittle his face in front of the people and beg them. He's too shy to beg the people. But he's in need. But he's in need. The Salaf, they used to go find them. The Salaf, they used to go find them, and they would give to them. And some of them, it's mentioned that they didn't never know who gave them their money and who would provide for them monthly. And the likes like this until so-and-so died. It's been mentioned about Zain al-Abidin. It's been mentioned about Umar ibn Abdul Aziz and the likes. Rahimahum Allah, that these people, they used to receive charity all the time, a continuous charity. A continuous charity would show up at their doorsteps, and their needs would be met from this charity that they did not know who it was, and they only figured it out whenever so-and-so died and it stopped coming. Yani Allahu Akbar. So they would look for the likes of these people and take care of them. So this is very important, especially the women, those women who have children and they don't have a husband. Especially the women from Ahl Sunnah, that we know good about them. That they're struggling in the lives like this, we have to look out for them, whether it's zakat or not. Whether it's zakat or not. Even if you don't have zakat, you give them charity, you take care of that, you help them. This is something that we should realize. This is something that we should realize and that we should have concern for. And wallahi, the person, if you help a poor person, wallahi, it will soften your heart. If you help a poor person, like you know somebody who's in need, somebody who's struggling, and somebody says to you that they don't have enough to pay their bills, and you give them their bills, or you give them double what they need, and you see in that they're so thankful and they're so happy, alhamdulillah, and they praise Allah Azza wa Jal. They pray that alhamdulillah. You tell them, oh, this is zakat, this is your right from your brother. Alhamdulillah, I'm a Muslim. The joy that they have and the hardship that is taken from their heart, in place of that, Allah, He makes the heart of that person who gave very, very soft and it will touch the person who gives the money his heart, and he will benefit maybe more than that person. And in his religion, in his deen, he will feel good about that he helped his brother, that he helped his sister, that he helped this Muslim family, that these children are eating now, or that that their bills are covered and that burden is off their chest. And he's so to be concerned about this is from the way of the righteous. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to love any of the poor, and he would take care of them and look after them. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here, this is the case now. So the miskeen, maybe he has a job, maybe he has money, but He doesn't have his needs. He doesn't have his needs. Maybe he has more than half. Any more than half. But he still doesn't have his needs. So maybe he paid his rent. Maybe he paid any this bill and that bill, but still there's a bill or two he's not paying yet. He didn't pay yet, so it's not met. His needs are not met. So that feeling is there, that feeling of, what am I going to do? Allahu musta'an. And the likes like this. So this is something to look for and to take care of for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah, he mentioned, أَمَّا السَّفِينَةُ فَكَانَتْ لِمَسَاكِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ فِي الْبَحْرِ يَعْمَلُونَ فِي الْبَحْرِ As for the boat, or as for the ship, then it belonged to these needy ones, and they're working in the ocean. So they have a boat, and they're working in the ocean. يَعْمَلُونَ فِي الْبَحْرِ يعني they're working. They have a job. They have a boat that they're working with, and they have a job that they're working, but they're مساكين. مساكين, so they do not have their needs met. Although they have property, they have a ship that they work with, and they're working, and they're striving, they're trying to make money, but they don't have their needs met. So this is from the evidences of that point. This is from the evidences of that point. So we have seen also in the previous class as well, yani that this difference between the two of them, this is whenever they're mentioned together. Generally, this difference between the miskeen, the faqir and the miskeen, this is whenever they're mentioned together. Like here in this verse, the verse of Al-Asnaf al-Thamaniyah, yani Ahl al-Zakat. Allah, he said, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتِ لِلْفُقَرَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. So now they're mentioned together in one context. So the fuqara, they're the ones that we mentioned, and the masakeen, they're the ones that we mentioned. And so there's a difference here. But if there's a context, whenever one of them is mentioned without the other, then generally the principle is that both of them are considered. In any case, now that we know what gathers them together is that they have a need, that they're in a state of need that does not suffice them for their year, does not suffice them for the year. But the people of knowledge, they mentioned the benefit of knowing between the benefit of having this knowledge now, being able to determine between the two. Although both of them do not have their needs met, one of them is more severe than the other. What is the limit, and what is the determining factor for that? We have seen. But the benefit from this is if there's ever tazahum, there's a situation whenever, for example, a man, he has two neighbors, and both of them are poor and needy, but one of them is faqir, and one of them is miskeen, and he has to give zakat, but he only has enough to give one person. So who would he give it to? He will give it to the faqir. He will give it to the faqir. So this is whenever the knowledge will be, he will benefit from this knowledge here, and it will be applied. So if there's a circumstance whenever there are poor people, yani to give zakat to, some of them are more severe in poverty than others, then they will take precedence. So you give it to them. If you only have enough. If you have enough to give everybody, to suffice everybody, then you share. You give them some and then some. Like this. But if it's only enough to benefit one person or one family, then you look at the one. If one of them is more severe in poverty, then he will take precedence in this circumstance and this situation. So now we see that based upon that, again, the one who has his needs met, and so the one who's contrary to the fakir and the miskin, he's the one who has his needs met. He has his needs met for his year. And you can also determine it through the months. The whole year also could be broken down into the monthly needs. And the one who doesn't have it for the month, of course, he doesn't have it for the year. So you can look at it and determine by the whole year, or the one who's living month to month in the life like this, and if he doesn't have his needs met according to the severity of that, he will be considered faqir or miskin. But as for the one who has his needs met, he's not considered faqir or miskin. We understand this. So this one, he will not be allowed to take it. Even if he didn't necessarily have anything at that point, but that month is covered. The month is covered, alhamdulillah. And the next month is going to be the same way, inshallah. What is known from his circumstances, that this is how he lives. And that he covers everything, and he's taken care of, and he's good. And he has all of his needs met, alhamdulillah. Anything above that is going to be considered luxury. We can give him charity, but we can't give him zakat. If he has his needs met, you can't give him zakat. So this is the point here. And also, going back to when would he be considered needy? Another point before we move on. Along with what we heard before, from the food, the housing, the clothing, the housing, And the shelter, all of these things before that we mentioned, and also the marriage, along with that as well, medication. Medication is also included there. Somebody, for example, he doesn't have enough money to get his medication or to get his prescription or to have a particular surgery taken care of and the likes like this, and it's needed, and he doesn't have the money for that, then likewise he is deserving of zakat. This is a need that's included as well. This is a need that's included as well. Somebody he can pay all of his bills, but all of a sudden has a big prescription for his child, for example, or some type of bill, any medical issue that he has to take care of. And even this, but he can take care of everything else, but this one right here is over his limit. Is over his limit. So likewise, he's considered in the category of al-faqir wal-miskin, al-fuqara wal-masakin. From this aspect, likewise. Alhamdulillah, our religion has come encompassed all of these affairs. If we only learn it and apply it. May Allah grant us success. So now we see the people of Nahd, as they mention another issue, and they say, كيف يكون يعني الرجل أو المرء واجدا للكفاية؟ كيف يكون واجدا للكفاية؟ يعني how would a person be considered that he actually has what he needs? And we're talking about now the person who is غني. When will he be considered that he has what he needs? And because if he doesn't have what he needs, we've seen that. And he'll be either from the fuqara or the masakin. So when will he be considered having what he needs? When will he be considered having what he needs for his year? The people of Nahd, as they mentioned, this will be in two circumstances. And either he will have in his hand or in his account or stored away, any in his possession, the money that he needs. He will have it physically. He will have the money in his hand. He will have cash, either in his hand, in his pocket, or he'll have it stored away, hidden somewhere, or he'll have it in a bank account. But he has in his possession the money that he needs for his month or for his year and the likes like this, and it to suffice him. We understand that? He actually has the money in his possession. So this person, he's considered ghani. He's considered any wajid lil kifaya. He's found everything that he needs. He has what suffices him. The other aspect likewise, which would be considered somebody who finds what they need, and he would not be considered faqir or miskin, rather he would be considered from the aghniya, is somebody who is able to earn a living. Somebody who is able to earn a living. He's physically capable. He's able to earn a living. And there's nothing that's prohibiting him or stopping him. There's nothing prohibiting him or stopping him. For example, somebody who has a workshop, or somebody who has... for example, a mechanic store, for example, a workshop. He works on cars. So if you look at him, he in his hand, maybe he doesn't have what he needs for the whole month. But every month he makes enough. He works on cars enough to where by the end of the month, he has everything paid. Or whenever the first of the month comes, he has everything paid. He's everything paid. And then likewise, yani, normally what is known in his circumstance and situation, that by the next month the same thing happens. And he lives like this, month to month. He works in a manner, he gets a salary, whether it's in a workshop or whether it's in another job, for example, he has a salary, whatever the case may be, and that salary is sufficient. So although he doesn't have enough, maybe in the middle of the month or after, or the likes like this, or by the end of the month, but he has his needs met and he has a job, and he has the ability to earn money, and it's moving like this. So he pays his bills and takes care of his need in the beginning of the month. By the end of the month, maybe he doesn't have much, but it's what is known for him and his circumstances. By the beginning of the next month, he's going to have what he needs again. So this person is not considered, he's not considered in need. This is somebody who has found his needs, and his needs, they are met. Although he doesn't have it in his hand. We understand the example. He doesn't have the money in his hand, but he has the ability, and he has the occupation, and he has the salary coming, and he has the money coming that suffices him. Every month. So this person is considered having what suffices him and his needs met. If the workshop closed, and now he's not able to work. Now he has an excuse. Now, although he's strong, he has the ability to work, now he's put in a circumstance. And normally he's able to get the money that he needs by the end of the month. But now something happened and the shop was closed down. Now he doesn't have what he needs. Now he would be considered from those who are either fuqara or masakin, and he will be allowed to take it. We understand? This is also a very important point. Along with this one, here the people of knowledge, again, they refer back to the student of knowledge. He has the same situation. So like this person, his job, he has a job and he's able to earn, but now his shop got closed or he got laid off. So now he becomes needy. Likewise, that student of knowledge who is dedicated to learning and the likes like this, although he has the ability to work, yani he's strong. Yani qadirun ala takassub. This is what it is. Qadirun ala takassub. Like the other person, qadir ala takassub. He has the ability to work. He has a job. He has a trade. He works on cars, or he's a najjar, yani a carpenter, or the likes like this. He has one of these type of trades where he can get money. Electrician, for example, but something happened and the business fell. Or something happened and his shop was closed down. Or something happened, he was laid off. And the likes like this. So now he would be allowed to take it. Before that, he would not. So similar like this, that student of knowledge, the one who's freed up, although he has the ability to work, the fact that he's now dedicated in this manner, then this dedication has stopped him from earning a living, it will be allowed for him to accept the zakat. So long as he did not have any other aspects of income taking care of his needs and the needs of those under his care. So therefore, to summarize now, there are two issues, or there are two means for a person to receive kifaya. Yani amrani tahsulu bihima al-kifaya. Two issues or two affairs that a person, he will yani be able to obtain his needs. Meaning he will not be from the fuqara or the masakin. And the first one is that he would have the money in his hand. He will have the money in his possession. And he will physically have the money that he needs for his needs and the likes like this. Or he will physically have the money that takes care of his needs. The second type is the one who has the ability to earn. The one who has the ability to earn his needs. He has the ability to earn. He's strong. He's healthy. There's nothing prohibiting him from earning a living. This one likewise is considered having kifaya. This one likewise is considered having kifaya, having his needs met. It will not be allowed for him to be strong and to be healthy and the likes like this. And it's easy for him to go out and to earn a living and to sit in the house and say, I'm poor. To sit in the house and say, I'm poor. I don't have my needs met. But why not? Because you're not getting up, because he's being lazy. So this person here that's being lazy in this manner, he will not be able to leech or to be a parasite and the likes like this off of the believers and off of the zakat. We understand that. So if he has the ability and he doesn't make efforts, then he will not be given. If he has the ability, maybe somebody is strong. Maybe somebody, he has the ability. He's doing his best, but he's still in poverty. And he's struggling. Maybe we know some young brothers or even some old brothers and they work, but they don't have enough. They work, they're doing their best, but they don't have enough. So this one, he will be allowed. As for the one who's lazy, and he has the ability to strive and work, but he doesn't take that effort, he will not be considered. It has been collected by Abu Dawood wa An-Nasa'i, yani authentically on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, لَا حَظَّ فِيهَا يعني فِي الزِّكَانِ لَا حَظَّ فِيهَا لِغَنِيٍّ وَلَا لِقَوِيٍّ مُكْتَسِبٍ وَلَا لِقَوِيٍّ مُكْتَسِبٍ. That there's no share. There's no share in the zakat for the one who is considered ghani, and the one who literally finds the money in his possession. He literally has the money in his possession. That's the ghani. وَلَا لِقَوِيٍ مُكْتَسِبٍ. And also not for the one who is strong and has the ability to earn. And not also for the one who is strong and has the ability to earn. So there's no portion in the zakat for the one who is wealthy, he has his needs met, nor for the one who is strong and has the ability to earn. So these are important points again with regards to this. So a person, before he gives his zakat to somebody, he will identify that. He will identify who they are and this and the situation that they're in, without belittling them. Some people, they don't want to accept zakat, or they don't want to tell the people because they're shy and the likes like this. But if we know any, then we want to identify that. So we can ask them, are you from those who need the zakat? Or are you from those who are allowed the zakat and the likes like this? And then give to them after any verifying. Or if you know their circumstance and situation, then you give them, alhamdulillah. But the people of knowledge, they mentioned that it's best to identify with the person first. Because some people, they do not accept zakat. Some people, maybe they are needy and they qualify, but they will not accept zakat. But they will not accept zakat. There are individuals like this. They qualify legislatively, and they have the right to that. But if you tell them, I have this zakat for you, they will say, no, don't give it to me. I do not accept zakat. Like this, they will stay away from that. So therefore, before we're giving it, to verify with them, to say, this money here's for zakat. Do you take zakat? And then if they don't take zakat, then maybe you go to somebody else, not with the zakat money, but you know that they're in need, and you give them some money from your charity and say, go give this to so-and-so as a gift. He don't take zakat, but he takes gifts. Go give him a gift to take care of his need, if you want to take care of his need. You understand? But he don't take zakat, this particular person here. So you want to help him out, then you give him a gift, or have somebody else give him a gift. This is not going to be zakat. You're just looking out for the brother here. We're just looking out for the brother here. Pay attention between the different affairs. As for the zakat, it has to go to somebody who deserves it and will take it. As for somebody, he gave the zakat to somebody and they don't take it, and he didn't tell him, then wallahu a'lam if it would be accepted or not. Because if he knew that it was zakat, he would not take it. If he knew it was zakat, he would not accept it. So the reason is that he would not accept it. You understand that? So this is the point here to make. The person you give it to, you tell him this is zakat. And then if he accepts it, alhamdulillah. And he deserves it, and you know that? Alhamdulillah. The last issue. Kam yu'ta. We know he's miskin. Or we know he's faqir. We know he's in poverty. We know he's needy. Kam yu'ta. How much do we give him? How much do we give him? This is the position here. We give him yu'ta al-kifaya al-sana. This is the origin. This is the optimum option. This is the best affair, if possible. This is based upon there's a benefit here. Likewise, and this is that many times when we study the likes of these affairs in fiqh. We're studying the likes of these affairs in fiqh, and we listen to the different positions of the scholars and the statements of the scholars. Many times this is based upon rulings that are applied in a Muslim society under the Muslim rule and the likes like this. For example, this affair of zakat. This is what is the best affair in the Muslim society under the Muslim ruler. Then he will collect zakat and he will have a large amount. So the poor people, they will be given that which is will suffice them for the year. For the year. So this is the origin. But maybe sometimes, for example, us here, maybe one of us will have $100 in zakat, or $500 in zakat, or $1,000 in zakat. So that's not enough to give somebody to suffice them for the year. But just to know the ruling, this is what would be given. So this is what is best, to give the person what he needs for the year to take him out of poverty. He will not be considered in poverty no more. To take him, he will not be considered faqir anymore after he received the zakat. He will not be considered miskin anymore after he received the zakat. So, for example, if we gave this person like this, like what is proper and what is advised, then he wouldn't be allowed for him. For example, one brother gave him the zakat and brought him out of poverty. Would it be allowed for another person to come and give him his zakat too? And it would not be allowed for him to accept it now, because he has his what suffices him for a year. So he couldn't say, oh, I'm backing up for next year and the next year. Let. You can only do for 1 year. He was going to be given that which would suffice him for a year. If he's still in poverty next year, he'll be given again. He wouldn't take what he needs this year. And then another brother would say, oh yeah, I have my zakat. You're going to take it, and he'll take it. And I have my zakat. You want to take it, and he'll take it. I have my zakat. You want it. Because now, from the first one, he was taken out of poverty. From the first one, he was taken out of being needy. And he has now found what he needs, so he's not allowed to take the zakat anymore. So that's what they mean here. That أَنَّهُ يُعْطَى الْكِفَايَةَ لِلسَّنَةِ. He'll be given what he needs to suffice him for one year. Likewise, if we can't do that, but for example, maybe somebody, he has a rather large sum of money, $5,000, $2,000, $3,000. If it's possible to look at the situation of the poor people, if a person could to give it to one person, possibly this would be better. But here you look at the circumstance. You look at the circumstance and situation. Some people maybe they think, oh, well, I'll find, for example, if he had like $1,000. Some people may think that if I give $100 to 10 poor people, this is better. $100 to 10 poor people, how many is that? 1,000. So which one is better, to give $100 to 10 poor people, or to give $1,000 to one poor person? And some people might think that to give $100 to benefit more people is better. But if we think about it, in reality, that poor man, what's he going to do with $100? And if he's in need, it's not really going to, it's not going to benefit him much. It's not going to benefit him much. But if you gave another person $1,000, he's needy, this is going to help him. This is going to help him. The goal is to bring them out of poverty. It is to remove the harm from them. It is to bring them out to bring them out of this neediness. So to give to one person, according to the circumstances, and there could be exceptions, but generally this would be better to help him. And with $1,000, he could pay, for example, a month's rent or half a month's rent, or he could take care of bills for 2-3 months, maybe. And according to his circumstance, it would really lighten his affair. As if we gave him $100, maybe he's just going to go get some chicken or some beef, and it's gone after a week. We understand that. So then in the end, all 10 of those poor people, they're going to be poor again after the week. But as for if we gave it to one person or one family, and now he's going to take care of this business, and it'll be more beneficial in this manner. Or to look at the situation, maybe there's two people. You can split it in half. $500 would help them out a lot. You give each of them $500 like this. And so to look at that which is most beneficial for the poor people, this is what is considered. Not just simply helping people. So you want to look at that which would be most beneficial for the people that you're giving the zakat to. So the origin is that the poor or the needy person, he will be given that which he needs to suffice him for the year, and that he'll be taken out of poverty, and if that's possible. And if not, he'll be given what is available. And then to look at that which is most beneficial for them likewise, and before dividing it up and the likes. Maybe to divide it up in some portions will be good, but not necessarily in a large portion. According to the circumstance. Maybe there's a poor person who has a bill he's behind on. It's only $100. Okay, help him out with that. You can pay that for him. But not the point was to not just think that to give 100 to 10 poor people is better than to give 1,000 to one poor person, or to give 700 to one and 300 to another. Like this, you'll look at that which is most beneficial. And in reality, based upon the origin, is to give them what will suffice them. So this is the goal and the aim of zakat to the poor person or to the needy person, is that they will not be poor anymore and that they will not be needy anymore. So to remove that from them. So to give them one person more to lighten that affair is better and closer to the aim and the goal of the Sharia with regards to the legislation of zakat than to just simply give a number of people a small amount of money that will only benefit them for a brief moment. After this, we have the issue of al-amiruna alayha, which is the third simf, the third category of those who are qualified and deserve the zakat. Inshallah, we can discuss this in our class tomorrow. And Allah knows best. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.